Well, today we begin week four of this new normal we're calling Life Interrupted. Here at Brazos Point, we have been looking at stories from the Bible of people whose lives were interrupted to watch and see how they dealt with it and to see what God did with their lives during that time of interruption. Probably the biggest and best example of a life interrupted is the story in the Bible of a young man named Joseph, who was a dreamer, but his dreams were just crushed and his life was destroyed early on. His story, the story of his life as a young man, is just one worst case scenario after another. If you are just joining us today for the first time, I would encourage you after you listen to today to go back and listen to Randy Dane, our equipping pastor's message that started off this story of Joseph last week. And the message was dreams interrupted, dreams interrupted. So we're going to pick up last week's story that Randy left off with this young man named Joseph being sold as a slave to a caravan of merchants. And the reason he was sold as a slave, his brothers were jealous of him. They were just jealous. You know, jealousy is like a snake bite. It really hurts when you get bit by the snake, and then it gets worse. Several years ago, I was bitten by a snake while I was working on the back fence in my yard, clearing off some brush. I never saw the snake, but man, I sure felt it. It felt like being stabbed with a hot nail. Man, it hurt. And I jumped back and I ran away. I looked around. I sat down, and when I took off my shoe and sock, I looked and I just saw one puncture wound. I thought, oh, okay, it wasn't a snake. It was just probably a spider. How bad can a spider bite be? But man, as time went on, my foot just started hurting worse and worse. The swelling got worse. So I finally went in to see my doctor. And he goes, oh, it looks like you were bit by a snake. And I said, no, that couldn't have been. There's just one puncture wound. It had to be a spider, I'm guessing. He goes, no, you've heard of people breaking their teeth. Well, snakes break fangs. He goes, this could have been a snake that had one of his fangs broken. He goes, that looks like a snake bite. And so I said, okay, well, you know, what do we need to do? He said, well, I'm going to give you some medicine. You need to go home. And you need to sit still for a couple of days and put your foot up and just keep it elevated. I said, man, I can't miss a couple of days of work. I need to get back to work. Can I just put my foot up at work? And he said, let me just tell you something. He goes, if you don't go home like right now, start taking your medicine and keep your foot up and be very still. He goes, tonight I'll be putting you into the hospital and you'll have to have your foot in traction. So I went home, I took the medicine and I put my foot up and I took a few days off. You know, poison in your body is not something that you take lightly. And that's the same thing with jealousy. Jealousy is not something you take lightly. Jealousy is like the poison of a snake bite. Man, it starts to go through your bloodstream, and then it gets into your heart. And it just begins to infect your heart, and it makes you feel miserable. The best way to avoid a snake attack and a snake bite is to walk away the minute you see the snake, if you see that snake. And the same is true of jealousy. Walk away from it the minute you feel it raising its ugly head in front of you. If you have your Bible, I would invite you to open it up and turn to Genesis chapter 37. This is pretty easy to find because Genesis is the first book in the Bible. So open it up to Genesis and then flip across to where you get to chapter 37. We're going to go back to the story of Joseph and all of his brothers from last week. We're going to see how jealousy infected his brothers' hearts and discover some places where even those brothers could have stepped away and walked away from their jealousy. So what do we know about Joseph's family? Well, first of all, as you read through this story in Genesis, it's pretty easy to see that this family was a wealthy family. So they had a lot. They had more than enough reasons to be satisfied. What do we know about his brothers' jealousy? Well, Joseph was the second to youngest of 12 brothers. Big family, a lot of opportunity for family tension there. With Joseph, we see it kind of begins when Joseph, the next to youngest brother of the 12, brought his father a bad report about all of his older brothers. Look in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, maybe his brothers were slackers and Joseph was just telling the truth about them. But it's just as likely that Joseph could have been young and arrogant, and maybe they made him mad about something. And so he just told a story about his brothers. We don't really know. We don't know what happened. But in the next verse, we see even more reason for jealousy, because in the next verse, in verse 3, as Randy talked about last week, we see that their father, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all the other brothers. That is a recipe for jealousy and discontent. Parents, don't favor one child over the other. You will cripple them and destroy their relationship with their siblings later in life when you're gone. Now, so These brothers were part of a wealthy family. They probably had all they needed and more to be completely content and satisfied, even with a little family tension. But as Joseph began to receive more and more because of his favored status with their father, their jealousy just grew and grew until it got to the point that they wanted to kill him. They blamed all their troubles on Joseph. We just get rid of Joseph, our troubles are over. Listen, write this down, okay? When jealousy strikes, don't play the victim. Don't blame others. We live in such a victim mentality in our country. Now with this coronavirus crisis, we have all the more reasons to, because we're all victims to one degree or another. But for most of us, this is more a thing about inconvenience, hopefully, if it doesn't last too long. But it does no good to focus on that, on our victimization. When I was a kid, whenever something bad would happen to me, I remember my mom would always say, "Greg, no matter how bad you have it, someone else always has it worse." And for the most part, she was always right about that. Jealousy takes that same statement that's trying to be optimistic and look for the bright side, and it twists it around and it says, whenever something bad happens, well, somebody else has it better, and that's just not fair. You see how easy it is to become jealous? And it's quite easy to become jealous now during this coronavirus crisis. I mean, I've seen lots of examples of it. Just think about some of the things where maybe jealousy has welled up in your own heart. Maybe you've thought, you know, if it weren't for all the hoarders, I wouldn't have to get up and go wait out in a line an hour before the grocery store opens up just to get some toilet paper. And, you know, that's not good, but someone else might say, "Oh, really? You hate waiting in line to go to the grocery store. Well, at least you're young and healthy, and you don't have to be afraid to get out in public and go to the grocery store." You know, someone might say, "I can't believe it. They're getting paid to work at home while I have to still get up and go into work every day, just like nothing's changed." To which someone might reply to that, "Well, too bad. You have to get up and go to work. At least you have a job. I got laid off." Jealousy. It's very easy to be jealous of others. Someone might say to their kids as they're leaving for work, "Well, you guys have fun with your time off because I've got to go into work and I'm going to have to work extra hours during the shutdown to make up for people who aren't there." To which one of the kids might say, "Oh, you think this is a vacation? At least you didn't have your senior year stolen from you." See how easy it is for jealousy to strike up? Someone might say, you know, a lot of parents are really struggling trying to work and have their kids at home. And people might say, "Man, it's bad enough. You think it's bad working at home by yourself? How about working from home and having to homeschool your kids at the same time? Man, that's bad." But then someone else might say, "Oh, really? It's really tough on you homeschooling your kids. I think I could probably do a pretty good job homeschooling my kids if I had as big a house as you and had a swimming pool to use for PE. You see how easy it is for jealousy to come in, even when all of us have it bad during this time, and us to look at others and be jealous of them in their situation. Jealousy comes in so easily. Many years ago, I lost both of my parents when I was in my early 30s. And you know what I struggled with? I struggled with being jealous of other people my age who still had their adult parents who are still alive. I mean, I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask to be jealous like that. It just kind of welled up inside of me. It's like a snake. You don't ask for a snake to bite you. But when that jealousy strikes, you've got to step back. You've got to step back before it raises its ugly head and just becomes a part of your heart. Don't play the victim. Don't play the victim. Listen, this is a time when we as Christ followers can stand up and let our light shine like stars in the universe, and we can be a positive impact on others. This is no time for us to play the jealousy game, to play the victim and look at others who have it maybe a little bit better than we do during this crisis. Well, Joseph's brother's jealousy, it really comes in and strikes hard at first when he is favored over them by their father. But then it gets a lot worse when their father sends Joseph to check up on them when they're working tending the sheep. And it's obvious now that Joseph has moved from labor to management. Look at verse 12 of chapter 37. "Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel," now that's another name for Jacob, God gave Jacob the name Israel. That's where the nation of Israel gets its name. It goes all the way back to this part of the Bible. "And Israel," or Jacob, "said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.' 'Very well,' he replied. So he said to him, 'Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.' Then he sent him off to the valley all from the Valley of Hebron. Now, we don't really know about anyone's intent here. You know, Jacob could have been honestly wanting Joseph to check up on the brothers, or he could have been looking to see if poor work was taking place. And then again, Joseph might have had, you know, might have just been innocently going along doing what his father asked him to do to check up on his brothers. Or Joseph may have been looking for trouble, been suspicious and looking to find fault. But here's what we do know. The brothers, when they saw Joseph coming over the horizon to check up on him, immediately they assumed the worst of Joseph's intentions. And the jealousy just took over and over and over. Listen, jealousy always assumes the worst in others. Don't let that happen. Don't jump to conclusions. When jealousy strikes your heart, assume the best in others. Assume the best in others until proven otherwise or unless proven otherwise, okay? Another way of saying that is give others the benefit of the doubt. Just because someone else may have more than you, even in a downtime like this, don't assume that they got it unfairly or that there's something unfair about the situation. Let me ask you a question. Do you celebrate others' success? Or do you find it hard to continue being friends with someone who's received a promotion, maybe a coworker, or someone who's been the recipient of good fortune? If you do, then you struggle with jealousy. When I was a student pastor several years ago, I remember a young lady in my youth group. She had earned a leadership position among her fellow friends her senior year, and she was crowned homecoming queen. I mean, she was so deserving of that. And yet her friends were so jealous of her and all of her success that they all turned on her and made her life miserable. You know, they were miserable, so they wanted to make her miserable. There's a phrase that says, misery loves company. But folks, a corollary to that is that success is often enjoyed alone. It shouldn't be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. Jealousy is like covetousness. It's when you want what someone else has. But envy is jealousy on steroids. Envy says when you envy someone, you don't just want what they have. You want them ruined. If you can't have it, neither can they. If you allow jealousy into your heart, it will fester and rot and ferment until it just clouds your heart and makes you miserable. You'll find yourself swimming in envy, just like Joseph's brothers were. Look at verse 18. So Joseph is on his way to check up on him. They see him from a distance coming over the horizon, and they immediately assume the worst. Verse 18 says, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. You know, the jealous have empty hands, and they want to fill them with what another has. But the envious, they have empty hands, and they want to empty the hands of the other person. You may be thinking, well, that's not me. I've never wanted to kill someone or harm them. Well, yeah, I believe that. That's true. I haven't either. But, you know, envy can attack us in really subtle ways and make us just as hateful. Envy shows up in things like put downs, insults, and ridicule, all in the name of just being funny and good humor. Envy rears its ugly head in making a fellow student or a fellow colleague look bad so you will look good, or maybe expressing concern over someone else's poor performance. I really feel for them. I mean, they're just not keeping up. I mean, envy can find expression when you pity someone's naivete, you chuckle at their blunders, or you mock all their idiosyncrasies. It's quite easy for us to become jealous and then envious. You can get caught up in it so easily. We're going to see in a few weeks as we continue this story of Joseph after Easter, we're going to see that about 20 years later from this incident, God actually used Joseph to rescue his own brothers, his brothers who sold him into slavery, to rescue them from starvation. But what if they had succeeded in killing him? What would have happened to them then? Jealousy can hurt you as bad as it hurts anyone else. So, As Joseph approached his brothers and they saw him coming on the horizon, man, just this talk of killing him just grew and grew. They were like a pack of wolves just ready to attack. And no one thought anything. But Reuben, the oldest brother, Reuben had a check in his spirit. Something in him that said, wait, this is wrong. We don't need to do this. Do you know what? Have you ever heard that phrase, a check in your spirit? A check in your spirit, it's like a warning flag that comes up that says, wait, stop. Don't do anything. Just stop for a moment. Man, when you have a check in your spirit, you need to respond to that. Look at this. Look at verse 21. You'll see it. What happened with Reuben? When Reuben heard this, heard them talking about killing Joseph. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness." It was just like a pit. "Throw him here in this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to their father. Reuben slowed his brother's plotting before it got out of hand. Listen, don't wait to do the right thing. When you feel jealousy, here's another way you can walk away from that snake. When you feel jealousy rising in your heart, you know, pay attention to that check in your spirit. When you feel jealousy, when it strikes a group, because it's even worse when it becomes groupthink. When you feel jealousy about to strike a group, pay attention to the check in your spirit before it's too late. Pay attention and then do something about it. Our world needs bold people, people who will stand up even when it's not popular. Reuben knew that by standing up, his brothers could turn on him. But he also knew that as the oldest brother, he was in the best position to stop all this madness before it got out of hand. You know, sometimes you have to stand alone. You do, and it's risky. But you may discover that when you stand alone, others are willing to stand up with you. Maybe after he said that, one of the other brothers said, yeah, we can take him out later. Let's stop. Let's have lunch. Pretending to go along, but also just like him, looking for a way out of this. Now, for some reason, we don't know. Reuben left and he went somewhere. But then before the talk of killing Joseph rose up again, another brother, Judah, stood up and was bold. Look at verse 26. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Israelites and not lay a hand on him." Wow, that sounds like a great idea. Let's not kill him, let's just sell him. Let's sell him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. And his brothers agreed. Now, who knows how many of the brothers felt uneasy about this whole situation getting out of hand and were just looking for some way out. But no one stopped this craziness until Reuben said, "Let's not take his life." And you notice how they all stopped and they agreed. And then when Judah had another idea to sell him instead of harming him, they all agreed to selling him. Now, some of you may say, okay, this is a typical Bible story. It's just a myth. You know, things like that don't happen. Nobody sells their brother. Oh, they don't? Yes, they do. You know, our work with the International Justice Mission has made us aware that the selling of family members, brothers selling siblings, parents even selling their children, folks, that is still quite common in many parts of the world today, and it's even acceptable among a lot of folks. Yes, it does happen. And yes, what happened to Joseph certainly did happen and is not out of the realm of imagination. It happened. Now, I'd like to wrap this story up really neatly here and tell you that, well, here's what happened after this. Before the caravan came along, Joseph yelled out from the cistern saying, "Guys, why can't we all just get along?" And then one of the brothers pulled him up out of the cistern and they all locked arms and they sang, "Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?" But I can't, because that didn't happen. You see, the Bible tells us like it is, not always like we wish it was or like it should have been. No, what happened is Reuben came back and saw that they sold their brother. And he, instead of standing up and saying, "You did what? You sold him?" he went along with their sin. I'd like to tell you that they went and they chased after the caravan. And they said, "Oh, we've made a terrible mistake," and tried to buy their brother back. But they didn't. They went home instead and they told their father that Joseph, they made up this lie that he had been killed by some wild animal, and their father believed it. Then they tried to console their father, but he was inconsolable. His favorite son, his next to youngest son, had died. The crazy irony of this is if you step back for a moment and look at the life of these brothers were wealthy. They had more than enough to be satisfied and happy with life, even if they did have a younger brother who was getting more than his fair share. But no, instead of looking at what they had, they looked at what he had, and they let their just jealousy destroy them, destroy and wreck their family, and wreck Joseph's life. It just didn't have to be that way. An interesting thing happened after this. Their father was grieved. Jacob, also known as Israel, he was grieved. And he switched his favoritism now to the youngest brother, Benjamin. But a really interesting thing happened then. Judah became Benjamin's protector. We'll come back to that later. Maybe your jealousy and envy has wrecked your life. Maybe it's wrecked your family. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you can start over again. Jealousy can be stopped. It may even be that God can clean up your mess. I can tell you this, God can certainly use you again, even if you've let jealousy wreck part of your life or someone else's life. God, like I said, God may even clean up the mess. I can't guarantee that, but I do know this. The Bible is full of stories of God giving people a second chance. And one of those people is Judah. That can be you. Maybe one of the reasons for you personally during this time of life interrupted is for you to stop the jealousy and stop something that's been tearing you up and tearing up your friends or family. Maybe this is a time for you to reconsider, to step back from that and think, okay, what can I do to repair this? And maybe make a phone call, talk to someone, and start trying to repair the damage. Listen, you can start over again. You really can. God can use you again. And God can make something beautiful of your life from this point forward. God majors in second chances. Give him a chance to do that. Let him ask for his forgiveness. Let him cleanse your heart and restore it and make it fresh. And then see what he'll do with your life. He can make you well again. And he can restore relationships. Give him that chance. Let me pray for you. God, it's so easy for us to be jealous, even during this crisis, when everybody's got it bad in one way or another. But God, help us to step away from that. Help us not to give any foothold at all to jealousy. Instead, Father, let us be open-handed towards others. Let us applaud other people's good fortunes and good success during this time. And let us be a part of solutions, not a part of problems. God, I pray that you'd be with folks who are maybe listening to this morning and hearing this story and seeing themselves in the brothers and their jealousy. And Father, I pray that you'd help them to stop that jealousy and to turn it around and to begin looking for ways to heal relationships. God, help people know that they can do that, that you can give them hope and help. God, help us to trust you during this time of crisis. Lord, help us, as the Bible says, shine like stars in the night as we point people to you, your love, your grace, and your hope. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.